That's been one of my pet peeves for years. Why are we calling it a chain? It is not a linear chain. It is a network. And now it's global and it's so complex. And so by being connected, it does help you get this view across it. But in addition to being connected, Maria, that's just the start.
Welcome to Transform Talks, the only podcast that cuts straight through the hype and noise on supply chain transformation. I'm Maria Villablanca, the CEO and co-founder of the Future Insights Network. Join me as I uncover the stories and delve deeper into the topics that really matter to you. This is episode number 205 with Darcy McLaren. Darcy is a multi-award-winning strategic global leader who spent 30 years growing, differentiating, and improving businesses through technology transformation with a focus on supply chains. Over the last 12 years, Darcy has held various leadership roles at SAP, and today she's the Chief Revenue Officer of SAP Digital Supply Chain, overseeing the global supply chain business and helping companies build resilient, agile, and sustainable supply chains. Now, with Darcy's expertise being cited by the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, Bloomberg Radio, NPR, Supply Chain Brain, and Supply Chain Quarterly, just to name a few, I'm really excited to tap into her expertise on the Transform Talks podcast. In this episode, we discuss whether generative AI is deserving of the buzz it's generated and what supply chains stand to gain from its adoption, to the inherent challenges and pitfalls of operationalizing transformational change in global supply chains, to the indispensable skills and characteristics that future supply chain leaders must possess to effectively harness cutting-edge technology like generative AI and move closer to building more efficient, risk-resilient, sustainable, and self-healing supply chains. We also discuss the importance of recruiting and keeping more women in the supply chain. This is an episode you won't want to miss. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, Darcy, thanks so much for being here on Transform Talks.
Maria, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. This is a subject I'm passionate about.
Let's dive in. So technology, AI, it seems like people have been talking about AI for a long time now, but only in the last year, I feel as though it's everywhere, right? Everyone's talking about AI. Now, the question I guess people have is, how does AI work, or how will it work with us as humans to be able to deliver on the goals that we've got?
Well, what's interesting is AI, machine learning, that's been around for a very long time. I mean, for 20 plus years, we've been using it. But now what everybody's very excited about really is generative AI. And that's where, quite frankly, the human is always in the center of the artificial intelligence. So it is machine and human interaction working together. And the way we view it at SAP is machine learning and AI, the first thing is used to optimize, right? And that's all about using the algorithms to help make the human decisions. And then the second thing is it's all about automation and executing processes faster and automating the business. And then finally, it's interact, where with generative AI, you can use natural user experience to really augment and have the human interaction. So it really all works together to give you the visibility, to give you efficiency, and really man, woman, and machine working together to give you really the benefits that everybody's looking for in data collection and in other areas. Visibility, predictive, real-time monitoring, and all that decision support is how they work together.
You just said something about visibility. It seems, you know, that we've been talking about visibility for a very long time. It's like this holy grail that everyone who works in supply chain has been trying to achieve for a long time. Do you think AI and generative AI, machine learning, the technology that we have today is taking us a step closer to achieving that holy grail?
Oh, absolutely. By connecting to everything in your ecosystem. And by everything, you know, I'm talking about not only your customers, your suppliers, your contract manufacturers, it's being connected to all your things. And when you're connected to all your everything in your ecosystem and all your equipment and such, that's really with that connectivity gives you the ability to create what we call digital twins and be able to virtually look at your organization's physical assets, your process, and that allows this digital representation for you to do different scenarios and such in planning. So it becomes a very important component in really what we call a sustainable, agile, and flexible supply chain in putting together these digital twins. And in order to do that, you need to be connected.
You said something else here. You said ecosystem. That's something else that I've been talking about for a long time, which is this obsession that we're not a chain, right? You know, supply chain is not this linear thing. It's this ecosystem, right? It's a complex. It's got so many different moving parts. Do you think that the technology that we have today will enable us to look at supply chain less as a chain and more like an ecosystem?
Oh, you are so correct. That's been one of my pet peeves for years. Why are we calling it a chain? It is not a linear chain. It is a network. And now it's global and it's so complex. And so by being connected, it does help you get this view across it. But in addition to being connected, Maria, that's just the start. The other thing you have to have is you have to have the information be contextualized.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, when you get all this massive amount of data into your system, you have to be able to understand, what does that data point mean? What do I need to do about it? Who do I have to communicate it to? And as you get that, that's where folks are starting to move to these, what we call a self-healing supply chain. And you'll hear all sorts of terminology that people use to use that. But it starts with being connected. But then you need to be contextualized and have your processes connected to get the real value that you need. So it is all those things. And that's why it's not a linear chain, back to your original point. It's a network. And it's alive, it's breathing, and now we know, highly disruptive.
That's an understatement, right? if the last couple of years have taught us anything, is that disruption is the new norm, right? It's quite interesting. When I talk to someone who so very much occupies the space of technology, it's so refreshing to hear you talk about the people and the processes. One of the challenges that I've been hearing regularly is just this transformation. I want to say nightmare, but it's a lot of people say transformation hasn't panned out to be what they expected it to be. So this is a two-part question. Question one is, why do you think there are so many impediments and blockages to transformation? And question two is, how are we overcoming this? How can we operationalize transformational change within businesses?
Yeah, transformation is hard. And that we could have a podcast on that in and of itself. And
yeah,
why it's hard is because people get comfortable with how they're currently doing it. And until it gets really uncomfortable doing the same thing, nobody wants to change. Now, what helps supply chain practitioners, heads of state in the world realize was this thing called COVID, realized they were going to have to take a different look at the supply chain. So transformation is easier if you have a really compelling event that requires you to do it differently, right? And that's what you saw happening, is that people realized we have to look at the supply chain differently. It cannot be all about cost and efficiency. We have to look at it from a risk perspective. We can't be looking in our rearview mirror. We have to look at what's going out in the future and how do we set up our organization to be agile and resilient and get the information in so that we can react. So transformation isn't easy, especially if we're pretty good at what we do. It gets easier if we really understand why we're transforming, that it's important to transform. And then the other thing is, the bigger you are, the harder the transformation is, for all sorts of reasons. It's because of the complexity of your global organization. It's because of the complexity of your existing infrastructure and to unwind some of that stuff. So if you look at a large global consumer company that has worldwide operations and a lot of different solutions in place and a lot of people that they have to do change management with, and they can't pull the plug overnight and say, here's your new world. That takes a while from why are we doing it? What are we doing? Communicating it, technically doing it, takes a while. So what does, and by the way, this is where smaller evolving companies have such an advantage because they're starting with almost a clean sheet of paper. They can start from the beginning and designing their processes, their technology to end to end to be connected. What does help in when I work with companies is you do need to have that big picture of what is our end game and what are we trying to do, but then incrementally look for what I like to see, the high value, low hanging fruit to get the transformation on their way. But in saying that, you don't want to do just incremental fixes and tactical fixes, and you want to look broad. So start vision, start with low hanging fruit, quick wins, but make sure you're connecting it across your supply chain, because that's the way you'll get value that you want and really start transform. That's transformation.
So the roadblocks and impediments seem to be a combination of many things, not just the technology. It's also the will to do it. It's the people to do it, the processes, the infrastructure, et cetera. But I like how you said that it isn't just a cost question of, you know, or it's a competitive advantage question with regards to transformation. It's a risk and resilience question. Even before the pandemic, right, there were disruptors coming in. There were things happening that were effectively changing the way that businesses operate. You have small businesses that are taking on large scale businesses regularly, right? You have consumer behavior that's dictating change, pace of technological change. It seems like there's so many things happening in the world right now. Do you think that the technology piece is just going to be one thing that people can worry about less and they can focus on maybe getting that competitive advantage if they know that the technology will help them overcome these roadblocks and blockages?
I do. And that's one of the things we're working at SAP as, you know, the world's largest application software company, is how do we get the adoption? Because the technology exists today and has to do the sort of things we're talking about. So how do we make it easier for companies to adopt the technology? So some of the things that we're looking at to get AI out of just being, let's call it a science project, right? And get it really in use is to embed it in the applications so that it's just there, right? So you don't have to be a data scientist. You don't have to be an AI expert. It's just there. And that's the concept of just naturally being able to ask a question of a complex supply chain. Now, in order to do that and be able to have non-technical users go across their entire supply chain and ask a question that involves a lot, does take things behind the scene that have to work. And when we look at it, it has to be set up so that the data, number one, is the processes are relevant, that it understands your business processes, that the data answering the questions has to be reliable, which is a huge area of concern, that I trust this data. I know it's secured. I know the person asking the question has the right to ask and get this data. And then it has to be responsible, right, in a way that doesn't have biases. So if an organization can do that and a technology provider can provide that and then make it easy, we call that business AI. That's the way you'll get the adoption. And I will tell you, we are investing billions in trying to make that happen because the tools are so powerful. But we need to make it easy for people to consume it. And that's where you get the huge transformational wins that you're referring to.
You know what? You've hit the nail on the head, because I think no matter how you slice it, a lot of transformational failures are down to adoption issues or down to the fact that cultural issues, let's call it, right? People have not bought into the transformation for one reason or another. And I know from experience, as I'm sure you do too, and a lot of people listening, some of this is down to the fact that the technology that's supposed to transform the business isn't as, you know, sharp as we would want it to be. Or in other words, it's not easy to use. So AI seems to be like a daunting thing for a lot of people. And I love what you said there, that you're investing billions into making AI something that's just there. I love that because, and I don't want to underplay that part there, because as a user and those of the millions of people that are in supply chain that have to use this on a regular basis, they don't want something more complex, do they? They don't want just another task loaded into their everyday. And if you can sort of have the backbone of a large company like SAP building a solution that is just going to work, imagine that.
That's right. That's right. Well, I just had this conversation today with one of my colleagues who tends to be on more the technical end of AI. And it's a huge responsibility because what you can then do is a decision will be recommended when an occurrence happens. And you'll say, okay, make a recommendation. And it will come back with a recommendation that will impact billions of dollars in that organization. It better be right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it better have the right data, the right assumptions, communicating to the right people, because if we just make this decision, whether it's we're going to shut down this facility or go with this contract manufacturer or source from this vendor, right, and change the course, you better have good data, right, in order to make that decision in the right variable. So it's a huge responsibility to do that. And we are definitely up for that. But that's the sort of power that it will bring, that these decisions. Now, back to your original question, it's always the interaction with the human involvement. And we see that for quite a while longer. And I saw an interesting analogy that related it to, you have directions. Then we went to Google Maps, right? And then we got a little bit more interactive with community and went to Waze and then self-driving, right? So what we're trying to do is similar. That we're in the ways where we have communities and we're interacting and we're making decisions and ultimately we'll get very close to self-driving supply chains, right, with co-pilots assisting is kind of the nirvana we're working towards.
And you know, one of the questions that I get asked regularly when I'm doing, you know, speaking at events or talking to people is, Maria, you know, what kind of skills does the supply chain person of the future need? And funnily enough, a lot of people think that they need technical skills. I'm going to need to learn how to code and, you know, do Python and speak, I don't know how many computer languages. I don't agree with that. My answer is always, I think the supply chain person of the future is going to be a critical thinker that will be able to rely on very good technology to help them do their job. What's your thought on that?
I couldn't agree more. And I get asked that question all the time. And the role of the supply chain practitioner is changing. Now, first of all, we need to recruit more women in the field, right? Because there's a little bit of diversity problem in this. So that's and women tend to statistically be very good because they're very collaborative, right? They're very good partnerships. But I do think you're spot on. Critical thinking is key. Being comfortable in using technology is absolutely key, but you do not have to understand technology. But to me, it's the characteristics are you a critical thinker? Are you quantitative, right? Are you good with technology? Are you a problem solver? Those are fundamentally the character. And it's a can-do attitude, because the reality is the technology cannot solve some problems when there's not enough capacity and there's not enough, you know, supply and some decisions are going to have to be made. So this critical thinking, this problem solving, this can-do attitude to figure out something that 100%. Just won't work and make some decisions, that's what makes a good supply chain practitioner.
100%. I sort of say, you know, look, I kind of have the basic understanding of how my car works, but don't ask me to repair it or build one. You know, I just expect it to work when I start it. And that's the way that I see technology. I love technology. I am a huge believer in technology, a huge user of technology, but I don't need to open up the hood and understand how the, you know, mechanism works.
But right? That's a great example, because I have in my car, which I drive an Audi, I think I use maybe 20% of the capabilities of that car as a driver inside the car. I have not embraced all the technology that's available in my Audi.
Well, you're absolutely right. I've been there too. But you know, I want to hit something you said as well about attracting more women into the supply chain. Do you think as we get more technologically savvy and use AI, generative AI, machine learning, all this great stuff that's coming down the line to make the self-healing supply chain, do you think that's a great opportunity to bring diverse talent into the supply chain?
It is such a great time because first of all, it's a very hot market right now, so there's a lot of
Yes.
attention on it. There's not enough, so that means the opportunities are there, and the opportunities for promotion are there, and supply chain people are getting elevated to the C-suite. We used to be considered very the introverts in the boardroom, and now they're becoming more extroverts, a very powerful voice at the C level of the organization. So it is a great time. And what I see, because I do go to a lot of universities to talk and such, we seemingly now, of course, overall supply chain, if a university has a practice, is growing, and the number of women in those are growing. What I see is the bigger challenge is they're coming into the field now. Our challenge is how do we nurture, coach, and mentor them so they stay in the field. We're losing them in the middle to upper middle management, and that's where we really need to work and mentor them to make sure they stay in. Because they're coming in now. We got to make sure we keep them in the market.
We need to make sure they get the abilities that they have to fail fast, to make decisions, to
Love it.
stay within businesses, that they get challenged, that and they get given the freedom to to really innovate the supply chain, right? Okay, moving to the future, what excites you about supply chain and the space in technology for the next couple of years?
What I am so excited about is I really feel that if we want to make this world a better place, a lot of how to do that is via the supply chain. So what
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
excited about, right? The
Yes.
whole 72% of the carbon footprint sits in that supply chain. So what I'm excited about is the ability to really make sure you're designing the products in a sustainable way. You're sourcing from sustainable vendors. You're manufacturing them with the least carbon footprint. You're packaging them in the right way, and you're certainly transporting them in a way that's best for the environment and reducing the amount of carbon footprint it takes to get them there. And at the same time, exceeding the expectation of what the customer wants in a highly tailored product to them, delivered in the most sustainable way. So I'm excited about being able to do that in a world that is very connective, really adopting these solutions that exist and making them a reality. So it's such an exciting time to be in supply chain. The technology is changing at such a rapid pace. And I am a mission to help companies really transform that, get over all those challenges that we talked about, to ultimately do that, which is make the world a better place by really having a very competitive, differentiated supply chain, and the whole world will benefit.
I love it. You want to change the world? Work in supply chain. That's what we should be
You got
saying.
it.
Exactly. Well, Darcy, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for chatting with us on Transform Talks, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you at upcoming events.
Maria, thank you so much, and I look forward to hearing your other podcasts. They're always so relevant. Thank you.
Thank you.